Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, September 20th, 2011, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Excuse me. This is a very special 2.5-hour show this evening to pay tribute to Avatar, my galactic horse. Lavendar will start by sharing the experience she had in the Great Pyramid in 1981 when the Pleiadians told her about the Galactic Horse Project, what they're here to do, and how she would be involved. I wrote my memorial tribute to Avatar and recorded it to share his story, and I also put together a video slideshow because I want you to have an opportunity to connect to the spirit of this most magnificent being who honored my life with his. If you open a new tab or browser window, you can hear the show and watch the video at the same time. If you don't know how to do that, just click the word file on the top of your browser and select new window or tab, and then please go to starseedhotline.com/avatar. That's A-V-A-T-A-R. Excuse me. To share his life. We've created a memorial tribute fund with Belva's Why of Life Foundation to help with the extensive emergency medical surgical expenses, which ran into several thousands in my attempt to save him. My very special and deepest thanks to Kim, who stepped up immediately with her very generous help. We'll also have a pre-recorded special guest this evening named Barbara Janelle, who is an animal communicator. Her website is Barbara Janelle, that's B-A-R-B-A-R-A, J-A-N-E-L-L-E.com. After her interview with Lavendar, we're going to share with you the session that we did with Barbara, and she brought messages from Avatar for us. We want to thank Purple Sage and Tammy for hosting the chat room and switchboard and enabling us to do this show. We've added 30 minutes at the end to take calls and questions, so please stay with us. The call-in number is 917-889-8292. Purple Sage will forward comments from the chat room for those who can't call in. And now I'd like to introduce my co-host, Lavendar and Sierra.
Lavendar here, and we have such a special show tonight, and I want to thank all of our Starseed listeners for the help and extended family that they've shown toward us at this time with the crossing of Avatar. And just hold the Emerald Ray very strong for Arielle tonight and for the show, because this is a very magnificent moment for her to be able to share with the audience her life and her story about Avatar. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Arielle.
I'd like to say hello to Sierra before we get started. I know you're there somewhere. Oh, you know what? I think she dropped off, so she'll be calling back in, and we'll hear from Sierra in a little while. So we're going to start with the story and the information that Lavendar received in 1981 about galactic horses.
Now, Arielle asked me to give some information about galactic horses on the planet. But I'd like to start by saying that about 45 to 55 million years ago, we started having horses come to this planet, and they were small multi-toed creatures that grew into large single-toed animals that we have today. And the domestication really started in Atlantis during the last upheaval, just before the last upheaval, and that was about 12,000 years ago or so. And they were brought by the Pleiadians. And so the Atlanteans brought to North and South America the horse for the Native American Indians. which is a story all of its own. Most horses are grown to the, I mean, they're fully developed to the age of five, and their lifespan is between 25 or 30 years. And we in the horse business, we know them as hot bloods, cold bloods, and warm bloods. Now, the hot bloods have speed and endurance. The cold bloods, they're the slow, heavy-working animals. And the warm bloods, they're kind of a cross between hot and cold, and they are created for special breeds. And there's about 300 different breeds of horses today. In North and South America, I just researched this and found there's about 33 million horses that we have in North and South America. So just to give you some idea of the presence of this mighty animal on the planet, I just wanted to give you a little history from what I know about the animals. You know, my family has been in the horse racing business for over 25 years. And we've had many, many different experiences through the years with horses from being born to dying to racing them. And one of the most monumental experiences that I had was when I was in Cairo, Egypt on March the 20th of 1981. I had special permission to be inside the Great Pyramid of Giza in Cairo, Egypt. And at that time, I was given special instructions about things that were going to be happening on the planet in the years to come. And one of the things that was given to me was information about galactic horses. And on that particular night, we had a horse that was born to our stable, who became the sire of many of our horses. And he was born on March 20th of that night. And I tracked later on his bloodlines and some of the things that happened with the horses that we owned from that bloodline with a great indication of how they were running the galactic horse experiments through me and my family. There was one instance where one of the horses that I called the owl was racing one day at the track and had an absolute disaster happen and died right in front of the Mubarak family that had come from Egypt to view horse racing. And that was a very, very tragic day for us in our family. I had another one of the horses that was abducted by the Greys and was experimented on, and of course it was a horrible, horrible death. So I've had lots of terrible tragedies happen with these horses, but also have had wonderful, wonderful things happened because of them. And I had a horse by the name of Navitar. Navitar with an N, N-A-V-A-T-A-R. And that was a horse I had in Ruidoso. And this horse was a stationary being that was at the racetrack monitoring the area and sending signals back and forth to the ship. So I had this gigantic crystal above his head in his stall. And he was just a monitoring device. And there were a lot of other things that happened those summers that we had Navitar standing in the stall at the racetrack. He was also there when I had the lightning strike that happened also in Ruidoso. So I have a lot of different stories. But the one that I would like to bring up now is August 15th, 1991. I was in Jupiter, Florida. I was at that time visiting Arielle at her horse ranch there, and I was in a motorhome. And the motorhome was pulled right up next to the barn, and there was this horse head that came and started, you know, whinnying and making noise, and I raised up, and his face was just really close to mine, and I thought, oh, my goodness. And, of course, this horse was named Avatar, which was Ariel's horse. And he was whinnying and whinnying and carrying on. And I got up, and as I got up, I started hearing another sound. And the other sound came from a tree just south of the house. And it was a bird, kind of. I say it's a bird, kind of, only because I'd never seen anything quite like it. It was kind of metallic and feathered and technology was playing a part with this bird. And Ariel came out, and our friend Bracken, who was with us, we all came out, and we just stood there. And it just went on for, I don't know how long it went on, all this noise and codes and chattering. But when it was over, I turned to Bracken and I said, okay, it's time for me to sit and work on a computer. And he goes, but you'll erase it. You know, you can't be around a computer. You erase computers. I put it up because you were in the motorhome. I said, no, I can do it today. For some reason, I can do it today. I need to go sit, and I need to write, and I need to write this now. So I walked in and sat down, and I realized that my arms had turned on, and these are devices that were placed in my arms years before. And I sat down and simply wrote something called Athena and the 96 Goddesses. Now, this entire time, this horse is not but, you know, 3 feet from where I'm working at this time. And I became real aware of the presence of the horse, and I was real aware of the bird, metallic bird in the trees, and I was really aware of beings around me. It was like I was placed kind of in a bubble of time, and I had a certain amount of time that I could write this, and when that time was over, it was going to be gone. And as I finished writing, I remember falling back into my chair, and I went, wow, you know, this has to do with some of the things that were told to me in Cairo, Egypt in 1981, and here they are starting to happen now. And it's at this point I would like to say that when I was in Cairo in 1981, that I was given the information about galactic horses and the care of them and what they would be doing in the years to come and the different species that were allowed to have intergalactic species communication devices that would be placed in the area of the pineals of these horses, because the horses that were genetically engineered with certain pineals would be the ones that would hold stationary positions on the planet, and they would help the people, and they would help the planet. And one of the things that would be happening with the horses is they would help to take the anger and the warlike nature out of all the programs on the planet, including the bloodlines, because the horses had been involved in war for a lot of lifetimes. They had been ridden, domesticated and ridden, and had been put in situations where they were in war with other species. So one of the directives that came had to do with, let's balance out the records for the horses on the planet so that they will not have to engage in war again. However, in the Bible, there is in Revelations, it talks about that when the final battle happens, that the final battle will be on horseback for Armageddon. And I must tell you right now, this is not going to happen. It is something that was concocted by the Catholic Church to write and to be part of their prophecy, and that is not going to take place. So, Ariel, is that kind of what you wanted me to say today about the galactic horses?
Yes, it is. At that time, on August 15th, I met you on July 21st, and on that first day, you wanted to go see our horses, and I remember taking you out to the barn. When we came back in, you told me the story about the galactic horses, and of course my question was, did you see any here? And do you remember what you told me?
You'll have to refresh my memory.
Well, Avatar's father, Wizard, was there. Avatar's mother, Janer, was there. And Avatar. And you said you saw two galactic horses, Avatar and Wizard. And I said, well, what about Janer? and you said that she was part of a galactic experience. And then I told you that in later years, because I didn't know at that time, that she was born on Athena's birthday. So that was the day, July 21st, 1991, that you told me that Avatar, who was just two, was a galactic horse, like his father.
I always thought it was interesting when you tell me what his name was, because I had a horse named Navitar, and then you had the horse named Avatar. I always thought that was kind of curious.
Avatar was born with Jupiter at 26 Taurus, with his ascendant at 2550 or 26 Sag.
I get more galactic than that with us. With our astrological, you know, star markings, yeah. Really right there. Really right there.
His moon at 12 Cancer. His Athena at 25 Aquarius.
Wow.
His Venus at 12 Capricorn. And on the day he left, and I don't think I haven't even told you about this yet. Jupiter was again at 26 Taurus.
Wow! So that's an entrance, and it's an entrance frequency and an exit frequency, but it's more than that, because it has the expansiveness of Jupiter, Zeus, Pegasus, and all the winged creatures belong to that frequency. And I don't think I ever told you that.
No, you hadn't.
So, you know, this was a planned event. I'll tell you something else that was very curious. You know, Jerry Campbell, you know, called me and he said, I bought a session for your communication with your horse, because you had questions about the horse. And I said, oh, thank you, Jerry. And I hung up the phone and I thought, I don't remember doing that. Why did he do that? He actually bought this for us, this session with Barbara, the day before Avatar got sick. I thought that was most curious.
It was the week before.
I thought it was just a few days before, wasn't it?
It was a few days before that I think we actually booked it, but he told you that he had it a week ahead of time, because
okay,
I remember telling me that.
I didn't remember exact. I just knew that it was. I talked to him on the phone about it again. I think the day before, because I talked to him twice about it. I talked to him the week before and then the day before. And I didn't really want to tell him that I didn't remember doing that. It was like, oh goodness, this galactic Alzheimer's is really kicking in.
Well,
I
don't really know that.
Anything about that?
I would not be surprised if there was no conversation, if this just happened orchestrated from a different place.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel about it. So, Ariel, I wanted to give you this information now, because we wanted to honor the galactic horse of Avatar and your experiences with him, and also to share with our radio audience about the importance of galactic horses on the planet. And if you have a horse and you think they're galactic, you know, we can take a look at their charts if you know what date and time that they were born. And if you have questions about communications with animals, we have tonight on the show, a recorded session by Barbara Janelle, and I think that everyone is going to enjoy that. So, back to the program.
Thanks, Lavendar.
Well, can you hear me, everybody? Lavendar, can you hear me?
Can hear you, yes.
Okay, good. At this time, I'd like everybody to go to, if you can open up another browser window, go to starseedhotline.com/avatar. So you can have a visual record because of the story that I'm going to tell you now about his life.
For everyone who hears this broadcast, I want to share the extraordinary life of Avatar, my galactic horse, and give each of you a connection to his magnificent wisdom, energy, love, and humor. I made a video collection of his life to share with you, and you can watch it while I tell you my favorite memories of our life together. Just click the link on our show page, or you can go directly to starseedhotline.com/avatar. That's A-V-A-T-A-R. I lived in Jupiter, Florida in 1988, and my sister friend, Penny Menno, had a young, breathtakingly beautiful black stallion named Wizard, and we decided to breed him with my 18-year-old mare, Janer. Her previous owners had tried several times unsuccessfully to breed her, but on that night in 1988, she actually backed herself up into him to receive his seed. And we joked about her being a hussy, but the conception took place. At that time, I hadn't met Lavendar, and I didn't have a clue about galactic horses and starseed, but as Lavendar says, understanding is not a prerequisite for a happening. Little did I know that the mysterious tiny crystals that I had been given by a crystal guardian in Hot Springs, Arkansas, just 6 months prior, were the same Giza crystals that Lavendar had given to him. Avatar's birth was of advanced galactic design. Penny and I camped out in the back of a Suburban for 5 nights, waiting for Avatar's arrival. He waited until the sun had gone into Aquarius on January 20th, 1989, with his ascendant at 26 Sag and his Jupiter at 26 Taurus. That's galactic center and the mark of the Pleiades. We took him out of the bag and witnessed his first breath. I stayed at the farm for 3 weeks, hanging out in the stall with him, walking the pasture with my hand on his back, and we were a three-member family. Now, being the only baby on the farm, he had free roam of the backyard and took great pleasure in running up and down the manure pile behind the barn, like king of the mountain. There was a picnic table in the yard, and I would sit on the table with my feet on the bench and call him closer. He put his front feet up on the bench and leaned against my lap, and I cradled his little head against my heart and sang softly to him. I could feel his head getting heavier and heavier as it slid down until his little nose was mashed into my lap, where he fell asleep as I sang. This became a ritual for us. And when he got too big for that, I'd stand next to his head, wrap my arms around his nose and cheeks, and start singing his special song into his ear. Without fail, his head would start to lower and lower and lower, and a great feeling of happiness and peace filled both of us. The first time I rode him was after we had a local cowboy friend come to do it first in case he bucked, and I didn't want to get hurt. So Kevin mounted him and just walked him around for maybe 15 minutes, and he kept saying, "Is this all you're going to do?" I think Kevin enjoyed the bronco busting rush, but Tari was about love, not rebellion. I got right up on him, and the feeling was indescribable, like being on air. I rode him around the yard a little bit and stopped to chat with Penny and a few other people standing there. Now, Penny had barn cats roaming the yard, and out of nowhere, one of them leaped up in an attempt to land on Tari's rump, but he didn't quite get high enough, so he clung on with his claws right into Tari's upper flank. Now remember, this was the first time I was ever on his back. And he controlled his urge to buck this cat off. He humped up a little bit, but would not endanger me. And he just waited for Penny to pluck Garfield off of his butt. Avatar's innate, ever-present wisdom was demonstrated so many times. We had a truck hitched to a trailer in the yard where he was allowed to graze freely. And in the distance, I saw him try to cut between the truck and the trailer, and he had his front feet on the other side of the hitch already. And I yelled to him, "Tari, don't move!" He held perfectly still when Penny and I rushed over to get him out of this predicament safely. He always knew that when he was in trouble, a human would come to help him. Another time on that same farm, he was in the pasture at night because it was so hot during the day in Florida. He had lain down too close to some small trees and got cast, which is a term used when horses lie down too close to something and they can't get up. Now, if a horse panics in that situation, the results can be disastrous. But Tari just lay there all night, quietly waiting for us to come and get him. Since the yard was fenced within the pastures, I often let him graze near the house. I lived on the bottom floor, and one day, when my window was open, he actually came and stuck his head inside to see what was in there. It still gives me a smile just to see his head sticking through the window into my bedroom. One of the funniest images I can recall of him is seeing him with his fly mask, which is a thing you put on a horse's face to keep the flies out of their eyes, especially in Florida, where it's such a problem. And he had twisted this fly mask all the way around to the side of his face. So like the little Velcro strap was just coming across the bridge of his nose. And this mask was just covering one eye. And it made him look like a pirate with his head tilted to one side. Like, what? It's not supposed to be like that? And it's just, he was so comical. He's such a good-natured, humorous, sometimes even silly. He loved to make me laugh, I guess. When Lavendar arrived late in my life on July 21st, 1991, I took her to the barn to meet my horse family, Janer, Wizard, and Avatar. When we went back to the house, she told me about the Galactic Horse Experiment from the Pleiades. And I asked her if she had just seen any. She said yes, two of them, Wizard and Avatar. Janer was part of the Galactic Experience, and with her birthday being the same as Athena's, she must have held the right bloodline. And she was a Foundation quarter horse, for those of you who know about quarter horses. She was a descendant of Leo San. Now, about 3 weeks later, on August 15th, Avatar took part in the delivery of the galactic story transmitted to Lavendar about Athena and the 96 goddesses. We moved to Georgia in 1992, and one day Penny and I were talking in the driveway, and she said, "Look at your horse." I looked down the hill to the barn there, and his stall had a low, narrow window which opened up into the shavings bin, and he had, now the door had been left open just to give him some air, and he had stepped up with his front feet thinking he could fit, but his barrel and butt were too big and he got stuck halfway out of the window. And because it was on a hill, his front feet were up like 2 feet higher than his back feet as he's stuck there in the window. So I looked down the hill and saw the front half of my horse protruding out the window. And once again, he stayed calm and just waited for the humans to come to the rescue. We ran down to his stall, and Penny told him to just let her move his legs for him. And one by one, she lifted each foot and guided it down to the floor, while I stood outside in the shavings bin in front of him to reassure him. His sides got a little scratched, but during the whole experience, he never panicked. In 1993, I took Janer and Avatar to Slick Rock Stables, where they lived for the rest of their lives, under the wise and loving care of April Goss, a half Native American of Cherokee and Creek blood, with an uncanny sense for animals and a heart as big as her devotion to these horses. She called me one winter day after some rare snow and ice here outside Atlanta, laughing about Tari. He just loved the novelty of the snow and the cold weather, and after being turned out for some pasture time, he had slipped on the ice in the arena, and he laid there on the ground, and he called out to April, like, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." So he just waited, again, for her to come and help him get up safely. Now, his mother, Janer, had colic surgery twice within 5 weeks in 1994, when she was 22, and valiantly survived to be ridden again. But she had gas colics about every 2 or 3 weeks for the next two and a half years. She'd go out and chow down on the clover, get a bellyache, and go down. Now, one time, she went down just beyond the rise of the land, out of view of the barn. And there were about 9 other horses in that pasture, and Avatar started circling his fallen mother and screaming at the top of his lungs for help and to keep the other horses away from her. He saved her life that time, but when she colicked that last time on August 18th, 1996, there was no saving her. I couldn't ask her to go through the agony of a third surgery at age 24 and a half. It took me 8 long, torturous hours to make the decision, praying for a miracle. But she was laid to rest under the ancient oak tree behind the barn. The morning after she crossed, April witnessed a white dove fly out of the woods. Now, April was born and raised on this farm and had never, ever seen a white dove anywhere around there. Avatar was in the pasture where it flew over to him, landed on his back, and stayed there as he walked around and grazed. I cried when April told me this because I knew that it was such a beautiful spiritual gift from his mother for both of us. So I went and bought some clay and sculpted a white dove for him. I've never explored sculpture, but it came very easily to me. And I hung this white dove in her stall where we moved him because her absence was so loud. Tari and I both grieved deeply for her, but we helped each other heal. Excuse me. April's farm was, at one time, sacred Native American land. And there's an area off in the woods that was used for sacred ceremony, and Tari would never walk on it. I couldn't figure out why he was acting so stubborn about taking that path. I just couldn't get him to go. I could go any other direction, but he would not cross that area. So I told April about it, and that's when she told me that it was sacred ceremonial land, area in this woods. And he knew that, and he respected the energies that still remained there. Over the last 2 years, we've lost 3 horses at the stable due to old age, and each passing took a toll on Avatar as he grieved so visibly, deeply, and for such a long time. They were his brothers, Magnum, Dewey, and Bear. They all belong to April's family. They grounded and supported him. Magnum was directly across the hall from Tari's stall. Bear was right next door. And Dewey was the alpha, king of the pasture. He was there first. Dewey was a champion in his own right. When Dewey was lost, April buried him in that pasture, and Tari would just stand beside his grave for hours as if he was guarding it, and he'd hang his head down. He was so sad. He'd lie down next to the grave, and once, when April was watching, she saw him lie down on top of Dewey's grave and lay his head down flat on the ground as if he was trying to embrace him. The day before I sent him home was a perfect day. Even though he'd been cooped up in the stall because of thunderstorms for a couple of days that passed through here, oh, I guess right after the, about a week or so after the hurricane went up the East Coast. So he'd been cooped up for a couple of days, and they were all itching to get out, and he'd only been out for about 20 minutes when I showed up at the barn. And I went to the gate there. I whistled to him, and he immediately left the hay bin, which was not typical for him to get his face out of the food, especially when he had just gotten outside. But I whistled to him, and he came immediately to me. He looked so good, so healthy. His dappled coat was dark and shiny, like it was almost wet. And his eyes were so bright. If you remember, back in the beginning of July, we found out that he had anemia, and we also found out that it was brought on by trauma, and the grieving from his mother is what started it, and then Magnum, and then Dewey, and then Bear, and the anemia just got so bad that we were all scared for him, and I think you might remember that we did the Emerald Ray for him so that he would leave his shoes on because he needed the support for his feet. And he came back so strong. He was so healthy. He's happy and strong. And as he stood in the wash rack there, I brushed him and groomed him and talked to him, picked his feet out. They were looking so good. And then I went and got in my usual place right beside his face, cradled his head in my arms, and I sang his special lullaby, and his head started to lower and lower, just like always, like he was falling asleep in my arms. And those moments, the love we share entwined us in a realm of total joy and peace. His wisdom goes beyond my words. His loving heart knows no boundaries, and his friendship to every living thing is a gift that will be cherished by everyone who had the honor of meeting him and being in his presence. On the evening of September 7th, when I was told that his illness couldn't be fixed, I went into the OR where he was, and I put my hands on his cheeks. And I told him that I love him too much to let him suffer, and that I had to send him home. I bent down, my hands on his cheeks, and put my mouth next to his ear, and I sang his lullaby over and over. And I held him until he was on the other side. Tari, 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 my good boy. Tari, please come back soon.
Hello. Hey, Barbara, it's Lavendar.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, it was such a wonderful, wonderful session that you just did for us today for the passing of Avatar. That was just an incredible experience, and I know that she's processing that information that you gave her earlier today, and just wanted to share the gratitude. Thank you so much.
Well, it, you know, as I said at the end there, it really was an honor for me. I don't know when I've ever connected with a being as large and profound as Avatar. And frankly, the partnership relationship between Ariel and Avatar is pretty awesome as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I told you that we have this wonderful radio show, Starseed Walk-Ins, Lightworkers. We have the Starseed Radio Academy. And so I just wanted to take a few minutes to record some of your wisdom today, because I'd like to air it on our show on Tuesday. But before we start, I noticed that you have on your website a very interesting piece, and I'd like to read that. It says, "Animal communication. Everything has consciousness, from a whale to a human being to an earthworm to a virus. Plants, rocks, water, wind, everything has consciousness. And everything is communicating. Existence is a cooperative effort. Information comes in many ways. Images, feelings, smells, sounds, words, physical sensations, etc. Much communication comes as feeling. For example, notice how you feel when you walk into a forest, or how your feelings change when an animal enters your immediate space. In animal communication, the communicator acts as an intermediary between owner and animal, providing, relaying, and clarifying information. Most communication that occurs in formal sessions comes as a myriad of images, feelings, and understandings. Words are very laborious and slow, and it is interpreting and putting into words the wealth of information received that takes time in a professional consultation." And that is so very true. And I just felt like reading that at the very beginning of this interview today, because I know our listeners will probably want to go to your website. That's Barbara Janelle, BarbaraJanelle.com, and you will find her phone number and this website. And if you want to have a communication session with Barbara, then it's right there. But tell me, how long have you been doing this? Was this something you were born with as a child?
When I was young, I had a tremendous need to be with animals. And I grew up in New York City in what was then the largest apartment complex in the world, and we were not permitted to have animals. I was fortunate to spend a lot of time down in New Jersey at my grandmother's and my uncle's, where there were dogs and cats and chickens and so on. All I knew at a very young age was that I wanted to be with animals, that I felt good when I was with them. Through my teenage years and into my 20s and 30s, I spent a lot of my energy on what I'll call mental things, reading, education, acquiring experience, and looking at it from very much a thinking process. In 1984, I had a tremendous opportunity to train with Linda Tellington Jones, and proceeded to do that over a period of many years. And it was very shortly into the Tellington Jones equine awareness work that I began to realize that
the animal I was working with was leading my work. I was getting pictures. I was getting feelings. Initially, I thought I should just quietly commit myself to the local psychiatric unit. And
listen, honey, we've all been there.
I know. And a very dear friend sent me a tape of a talk by Penelope Smith, who's one of the leading communicators in the world. And Penelope publishes a newsletter, which is superb, called Species Link. At any rate, when I heard Penelope speak, I thought, oh, I'm not crazy. There's somebody else who's experiencing this. And out to California. I was living in Canada at that point, went out to California, trained with Penelope, brought her into Ontario, Canada to teach. And through working with her, met a lot of other communicators and realized that there's a whole bevy of us out there. And in my own work, I have come to believe very strongly that anyone that has an animal that they love is engaged in communication, whether they recognize it or not. They know when their animals are sad or happy. There'll be a sense that, oh dear, I have to get him water now. There may not be any physical signal of that, just a feeling. They're picking up information from their animals. And I think that some of the very best dog trainers are people who actually visualize their animals doing what they want them to do. Animals get the pictures that we think of. That's a long answer.
Oh,
but,
okay. You know, Ariel has two dogs, and I saw her train the first one. And she would give him pictures, and he would obey, and it was just amazing. He just did so many tricks. So she just had to think about them and point, and he would do them. It's amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. What's one of the things that's really important is when we talk to an animal, and frankly, it works with humans as well. If we speak in positive terms, our minds automatically create pictures. If I say to a dog, sit down, my mind creates that picture and the animal gets it. If I say to a dog, don't sit down, that picture is embedded in there and there's great confusion. And it's really interesting because animals and young children pick up the pictures that we create with our minds. And dealing in positive terms with them is really important. I think it works with adults as well.
So what you're saying is the negative and don't doesn't really register. It's the picture.
The negative is too complicated.
Yeah.
The positive is much more direct. Much clearer.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm a cat person.
And yes, so am I.
Well, I'm the cat woman of the neighborhood, and and you name a color and I have it.
A large family, eh?
Yes, and they run around the house and actually clean the house. They do. Electromagnetics, they take care of it. That's their job.
Whatever
cell phone tower frequency or television, whatever, and they'll just start running around in patterns, and then they all go lay down and take a nap.
Yes. Yes.
And a lot of people don't know that they have the ability to do that. They also can hold astral forms.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen that happen many, many times in my life where someone has crossed over, and they will come and start using the cat for a communicator.
Yes, yes.
And I've experienced many, many things with my cats through the years. And, of course, I've had racehorses, and I've had horses that were, you know, here to do specialized work, very much like Avatar. So those are the two animals that I have really had the most experience with. I've had dogs when I was younger, but I haven't had dogs when I was older. There were some tablets that were found down in South America, and they were carbon dated, like I think 1,500 years ago, and it was a communication about how things were going to happen along with the Mayan calendar, and it said that the cats and the horses would band together for humans to help them with the transition, and dogs would turn on them. And I thought that was a very interesting communique that came out of South America, that the dogs, the energies, would hurt their ears and they would become angry, but the cats and the horses would hold the balance. I just thought that was... What do you think about that when you hear me say that?
Well, what I know about dogs is that they walk love. That's who they are. Cats are about respect. And I cannot imagine dogs turning on humans. I really cannot, because they are the essence of love.
Okay. Well, that's just what the tablet said. So,
mm-hmm.
Just take it for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I have known of Tellington Jones' work for some time. I met her years ago. She probably
mm-hmm.
doesn't remember meeting me. Where is she located now? Where does she live?
She lives in Hawaii.
Okay.
And as usual, is traveling around the world with great vim and vigor.
Yeah.
You never quite find her at home. She's always on an airplane going somewhere.
Yeah. And where? And what town do you live in?
I'm in Santa Barbara, California.
Oh, that's a beautiful, gorgeous,
yes.
Gorgeous
paradise.
it is paradise. Is there any particular message that you would like to share with our Starseed audience? Something that you just feel like you need to say today, because most of the people that listen to our show are awake. They're very interdimensional, and they have understandings, you know, beyond the normal human. Is there something
yeah.
you'd like to say to them?
I think that there are two pieces, and the first, I'm really quoting Michelle Small Wright's work. She has Paralander Garden in Virginia. She says, nature is just waiting for human beings to come online to recognize that we are part of community, that as humans we have the ability to imagine what might be. That's our gift, to be able to use it and then ask nature to make it so, to help with creating. And we recognize that this earth is going through profound changes. The need to really come into community is exceptionally strong. In the courses I've been teaching recently, I've really talked with people of my generation and the next generation. I'm in my 60s now. We were very much pioneers in exploring healing approaches, understandings about humans being much more than simply our five senses would suggest, and that this universe that we live in is enormous, and it's all interconnected. Our work is not done. We're having to shift, and I feel this is a critical shift we have to make, to recognizing that we have entered into the age of Aquarius, the age of harmony. The Piscean era was about conflict, confrontation. We're entering into harmony, and we must walk that talk. We must be able to hear one another, respect one another, find ways of coming together if our species is to survive and this amazing community that is planet Earth is to continue to be the beautiful, amazing paradise that it is.
Oh, thank you so much. And again, I want to thank you, Barbara, for the work that you have done for our horse avatar, for Ariel. And again, her website is Barbara Janelle, JANELLE.com. And I hope that you come and be on our radio show again. We're recording this today, and usually we have questions after the mm-hmm. session, but you said that you were not going to be able to be here. So we will have you at another time to come on our show. So
thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much.
It was an honor and a pleasure, Lavender, and I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Back to you, Ariel.
Well, we'd like to thank Barbara Janelle for being with us during that time, and also for the work that she did this past Saturday in being the bridge to give us messages from Avatar, because I really needed to connect with him. So this next segment that I'm going to play for you is it's pretty personal, but I want to share it with you so that you all have a chance to connect and experience this magnificent being. Hello.
Hi. This is Barbara Janelle.
Hi, Barbara. It's Ariel.
Hi, Ariel. Okay.
Lavender will be calling in just a moment.
Yeah.
I talked to her about 4 minutes ago. So I'm so pleased to be able to talk to you today.
Well, I think Jerry Campbell seemed to hone in on a pretty precise timing for this. So, good.
Yeah, well, Lavendar has known Jerry for, I don't know, 25 years, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or better. And he's just been a galactic champion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He's a really nice man, and in the times I've spoken with him, there's a great kindness and sympathy that I find in him. Really quite lovely. Yeah.
Did you get the pictures and the video that I sent you?
I got the picture. I started to access the video, and I kept getting all of these messages from my computer about the danger of downloading it. So I haven't downloaded it, but I have to tell you, I'm absolutely impressed with that wonderful first picture of your horse. What a magnificent body.
He was perfect in every way.
Mm-hmm. He certainly chose a stunning physical appearance for this particular lifetime.
Well,
yeah.
That's one thing that the galactic horses have in common, their presence.
Mm-hmm.
His father was just stunning.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Lavendar.
I'm here. It was a little hard getting in, but here I am.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
I was just telling Barbara about Avatar's father, whose name was Wizard, and if there were 100 horses standing in a pasture,
you'd see him.
Everyone
uh-huh.
focused on him. When he walked into the show ring,
yeah,
he always won. He was a black, I mean, blue-black,
mm.
Just magnificent. And he with my mare, conceived him on the first try.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Let me, before you say too much more here, I find it useful for me to access an animal before I know too much about him.
Okay.
And Avantar, A-V-A-N-T-A-R.
No, no N. A-V-A, Avantar.
Avantar, sorry. Why did I put an N in there? Okay. Avantar. And what breed was Avantar?
Quarter horse.
Mm-hmm. And how tall was he?
About 15'3".
Mm-hmm. And was he gelding?
Yes.
All right. And I have this picture on my iPhone. My iPhone keeps cutting out. He was a bay, I'm seeing here. And a blaze, and he had some white on his muzzle. Okay. Any white on his feet?
Yeah, he had four white socks. The two in the back were higher than the two in the front.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Yeah, okay, I'm seeing it in the picture of him as a foal. Okay, good. Had you had him, well, of course, your mare was bred, so you'd had him since he was a foal. And
I took him out of the bag.
Wow.
I was there for his birth.
Uh-huh.
And I took him out of the bag. I was there for his first breath.
That's a magical moment. And how old was he when he died?
He turned 22 on January 20th this year.
Okay. And when did he die?
September 7th.
So it's been very recent. Okay. All right. And one more question, Ariel. Where are you located?
I'm just about 30 miles north of Atlanta.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, let me get hold of Avantar. I'll tell you what I'm getting. And then we're going to run with topics and questions that you have, okay?
Okay.
Just give me a second with him here. Very big, huge. I don't know when I have met a presence like this that absolutely fills the entire space in my mind. Interesting. Pride, good humor, very great good humor. Huge eyes and awareness. It's very interesting. Over the years, I've dealt with many, many beings in animal form who have come from other parts of the universe. He's in so many ways he's much more than that. He has such a connection with everything, everywhere, and a tremendous knowing. My sense of him is he's still so very present. Yes, without body, but he's still very much present within the realm of this planet. His comment, he does miss his body. He liked the experience of that physicality and the strength of the body, and that experience, that lifetime experience, was fun, enjoyable. But also, his comment, very limiting in terms of his physically being tied to a particular place. And now he's not tied in that way. Very interesting sense of him as so large, so all present. I really have not encountered one like this before. There's so much information there, in terms of not just who this being is, but the work that he's engaged in. And he speaks of the relationship with you as a grounding relationship, again supporting his physicality, but also a partnership in which you recognized him for who he is, and he worked with you, through you, in very strong conscious partnership with you, with much love. And my sense from what I'm getting from him, and this is a kind of language that I use. I don't know that we fully understand what all is going on, but my sense is that you and Avatar are of the same soul group. What I pick up in Avatar is very much what you hold as well. You come in different forms to this planet. But there's this very profound relationship between you, where you are part of a greater being. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but
yes,
that's
does.
The kind of language that I tend to work with. Now, any comments, questions, topics you want me to raise with Avatar?
Yeah. Just give me a second here.
Surely.
Well, I know that he knows how unprepared I was to have to let him go. And I need to know that he understands that I could not allow him to suffer as he would have, and that it was the hardest thing that I've ever had to do. And was he conscious? Was his spirit aware? Even though he never woke up from the anesthesia. Can you ask him if he heard what I told him?
He was out of his body, but very present, hearing, you watching, observing, and feeling the not feeling your huge love and concern for him, but also feeling the caring concern of the team that worked with him as a he speaks of it as a final physical gift in this lifetime. He brought all of these humans together, and there was something quite magical in that. In terms of his leaving, he's missing his body. That was an awful lot of fun for him, but the timing of his leaving, as far as he's concerned, was really important and precise. It wasn't that he called it. It's like a much higher hand at play called the timing on it.
Was he aware that, because I saw him the day before, absolutely healthy and strong.
Mm-hmm.
But
he
there was
had,
something. Did he know that this was his last day?
He had some sense of something big coming. He knew there was some, and he calls it a big transition, shift, change coming. And he was just thoroughly enjoying himself the day before. No matter what could or would have been done in terms of veterinary care, he would not have survived. It was time for that physical form to leave. There's no two ways about that. And that he's still very, you know, the piece is this. You and Avatar are not separate beings. You're part of the same being. With his leaving physically, it's almost like a very painful knife cutting you. It's like a part of you has gone. And the recognition that, yes, you're still very much wedded to him in a spiritual sense is all very fine and well to say, but the pain that you're feeling is very real.
Yeah.
One of the things that we explore in human form is the ability to feel emotions. And the beings that come in animal form absolutely bring us to the brink of that. And when you have a relationship with an animal of the kind and quality that you have with Avatar, the pain is even deeper.
Well,
but you know that he's still very present with you. And let me try something with you, Ariel. If you will close your eyes.
Oh, before we start this, I can't believe that my mailman is beeping for me to sign for a package.
Go sign. I'll hold. No problem.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I know. We just simply trusted.
Oh, okay. I'll interject while she goes and does that.
You just simply have to roll with things like that.
Right. No. Okay. Lavendar here. You can hear me fine. Okay.
Can hear you.
Barbara, I just when you said that his presence engulfed the whole room, you hadn't experienced anything quite like that. You know, this galactic presence that I know that has happened since I have known this horse, since he was, you know, like 1 year old, because of Ariel and our work with Starseed Hotline and what we've been doing all these years, we're part, you know, of an extraterrestrial experience. And I'm sure that he agreed to do this before he came.
Mm-hmm.
And probably had some, I've never really thought about it, the term before, but I worked with walk-ins in people, and mm-hmm. I think that we've had walk-ins with this horse at different times. I think that he's had visitors that come and help him at different times.
So my
question to you is, the time that she had to make this decision and he was out of body,
mm-hmm.
were there other beings that came for this decision for him to leave? Did she have other, was there an attendance of other beings from the ship or from angelic presence?
A huge attendance.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Literally a whole chorus line. It's so difficult to put into words the images and feelings that I get with this being, that to call an avatar he or an individual is way too small to as a description of what this is about. This being is such a composite of, for want of a better word, universal wisdom, and a very strong kindness. It seems almost insulting to call Avatar him or horse or something so small because he's so big. And the relationship with let me return to your question around were there other beings. This enormous group of beings, souls, wisdom, you know, it's all part of who Avatar is. It's also part of who Ariel is. It's very interesting. I have dealt with a good many beings in animal form who have come popping in from other parts of the universe, both to observe and to participate. And I don't think in all of my experience I have ever encountered one of this magnitude.
Barbara, just to give some insight to what you just said, there have been different times that I have been around Avatar and I have looked inside his head, and he was holding some kind of galactic implant that was hooked up to a computer that is so massive, it was emerald in its frequency, and it was like he was hooked up to so many different places at once.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that maybe that's what you're describing.
Yeah.
Is that he held the emerald computer in his body to help all of us. And I also felt like at different times that he had like a video camera going on in the area,
and he was taking readings from the ground and from the crystal ley lines and the people, and it was like overwhelming me at times. Is that what you get?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, good.
He's, he wasn't just here giving information. He was here taking and processing information. Again, that word he being too small. It was an access point on this planet for a much larger source of wisdom.
I'm back.
Hi.
I've been back. I just was listening.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm understanding that this conversation is recorded, so you'll have a chance to go back and pick up anything that you missed while you were dealing with the postman.
No, I just had to sign.
Okay.
So you were about to start something, so should I wait for more questions after that?
Right. Just take a good deep breath and exhale. Yeah. And then if you close your eyes and invite Avatar to come into your mind and heart.
He's never left.
I know. And tell him something. You don't have to do this out loud. Tell him something in your mind and heart that you want him to know. And then see what you get in return.
I asked him if he would come back.
Mm-hmm. He will. The form may not be the same, but he'll definitely be with you again. And
in body?
Yes.
In a human body, in a horse?
Animal body is what I get from him. It's very interesting. His comment that in many ways it's easier for him to work through an animal body. He has you as his human other half. And the animal body allows him a kind of freedom that the human body doesn't. It also allows him to pick up information through the senses of the animal body that he couldn't get through human senses. Whether he'll come back as a horse, I don't know.
Is that because he doesn't know? Or because he's not telling?
Yeah, it's not very... He's funny because he says he's enchanted by the idea of chickens. I don't know. He just keeps showing me pictures of chickens. And I don't know how he'll present, but that he will,
because
most definitely.
Because I have a chicken story with him.
Do you?
I think he might be trying to make me laugh.
All right, he certainly has a wondrous sense of humor.
he was most entertaining, and you know he taught. He, for the 20 years of his life, was at the same stable with the same horses for the most part, and there we had some I call them the Walter Matthau type, you know, grumpy old men horses.
Yes,
and they would never partake in the playfulness, and one by one, he taught them all how to play. And, I mean, even to the point where he would grab them by the tail and start pulling them backwards to encourage them to lighten up.
Yeah.
And when, I mean, I could just tell you story after story of the valiant nature of him. But
it's really interesting because, you know, when you consider the work that you're aware of that he did, and speaking briefly with Lavendar early, just before our call, she mentioned an experience with him that tremendously affected some work that she did. We can look at that and say, wow, you know, extremely powerful. And yet, how important it is for humor to be present, because it helps everything to flow, it leavens things, and it also puts things in a greater perspective. And everything that I get when I work with Avatar includes both tremendous wisdom and humor. And they are absolutely connected.
Barbara, I have a question. Avatar never wanted to wear his shoes. We have spent so much time and energy trying to get him to wear shoes through the years. Is there something he'd like to tell us about wearing shoes?
Well, they didn't allow him to feel the earth in the way he wanted to. He was very adamant about that. He needed to feel the ground through his hoof. He'd make a point of trying very hard to get rid of them.
he could take off a shoe like it was a flip-flop.
Yeah.
And I did let him go barefoot for the past several years until just a few months ago, after a health problem he had, which we cured. We told him how important it, because he was, his feet were so sore, and he needed the shoes for support.
Yeah.
And he would allow his rubber boots.
Right.
But they weren't. He needed the shoes for support, and he finally agreed and realized that they were bringing him more comfort.
I mean, one of the difficulties, and one of the few downsides to that body he chose, was he had four white feet, and you know, the white feet are weaker in a range of ways than dark colored feet.
Right.
So, in a sense, it wasn't just the problems that you saw with the feet, but it was an ongoing struggle for him to maintain contact with the earth, to maintain contact with his lower legs and feet. And that he just simply kept at it, you know. And getting rid of the shoes was all part of that. And I think accepting the shoes, finally, was, in a sense, a kind of transition for him, the start of a transition out of his body.
Well, we only put them on the front.
Mm-hmm.
So he still had the contact with the earth. It just
from the hind.
He was so miserable.
Yeah, right.
But
the
would you ask him?
Yeah.
If he could tell me something that very personal that I could hold, something that only he would know.
Well, he shows me a picture of himself with you, with his head pressed against you, almost as if he has his head in your lap. And a state of peace, deep quiet between you, in which you both seem to go out beyond the bounds of your body. It was a communion many, many times that you engaged in with him that seemed to strengthen both of you. And a feeling as if you so wrapped yourselves around one another that you literally became the one spirit that indeed you are. He also shows me a picture of a game, a play between you. Laughter and hijinks. Laughter on your part, hijinks on his part. Physical play in a field where you knew and trusted. It was based on an enormous trust between you.
Is he talking about the trick that I taught him?
The picture I get is of you facing each other over a distance of maybe 10 feet or so. And sudden moves on both your parts in a kind of play. It wasn't so much. It was almost along the kind of play of a herd of a cutting horse entering a herd and cutting a cow out. That kind of back and forth movement with each other.
I think I did that when he was just a baby.
All right.
It's not okay. Something that we did in
adulthood.
In adulthood.
Okay. It's he enjoyed it. It was and he talks of, it's funny, he brings the word entrainment up. In some way you were both on the same brain wavelength at that point. A lot of fun, trust, and engagement with each other. Very strong. And the picture of you with his head really pressed against you and the comment almost in your lap is very strong and repeated.
Barbara, I have a question. There was a lady named April that took care of him on a daily basis for many, many years. Is there a message that he would like to give to April?
She has a great good heart and empathy with animals. She has she's very astute around assessing and caring for animals. She also has that same astuteness with respect to people. And she's most definitely a gift to the planet as well. And she knows her own wisdom. And it's very important that she trust herself. Trust what she knows. Trust what she intuits. The work that she does is very important. she doesn't understand her own power.
Well, we love April, and April is tremendous with horses, and I'm sure that she's grieving along with Ariel at this time about this horse in the same way, so we'll share this information with her.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You tell her to trust herself, really trust herself.
Okay, we'll tell.
Because she has a lot of wisdom, and I'll repeat, the work she's doing is very important. Okay? Yeah.
And the other horses, we lost some other horses in the last 18 months because most of the horses in the barn have been there their whole lives, and you know,
mm-hmm.
they're approaching 30 years old, so there were three horses that left quite recently.
Mm-hmm.
Give
me their names.
Magnum was the first to go,
mm-hmm.
at age 43.
Ah, great.
And Tari really grieved for Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
He grieved more than any other horse in the barn.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a trio of horses, of which
mm-hmm.
he was one, that had their separate paddock area, a corral, and then like the other 10, 12 horses were over on the other side. But these three were, there was Dewey, whose full name was Do It and Go. He is a huge quarter horse thoroughbred mix,
mm-hmm.
and Dewey was the king and the boss, and he told everybody what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when Dewey went, tragically, Tari grieved for months, and Dewey was buried in that corral, in that paddock area. And Tari would stand guard and would not let the other horses near Dewey's grave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they actually saw him one time get down slowly on his knees in front of the grave and lay his head down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And when a new horse came into that trio, well, it was a duo that became a trio again, he went and grabbed the other horse and took him over and told him about Dewey,
mm-hmm.
and made him pay respect. And then Bear, who stood beside him in the stall next to him almost his whole life, was the last one to go.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Tari have to say about those souls?
Each one of these horses acted also as a grounder for Avatar. It's like they created a space within which Avatar could work. Avatar speaks of the relationship of brothers, and very, that relationship ingrained with trust, with humor, play, and the ongoing quiet conversations amongst them all. They, with the leaving of each of them, Avatar's ability to work was affected. His ability to take in information, process information, give information, ground information, was affected. And he continued on as best he could, but each leaving took a toll.
Has he made contact with them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're, oh, no, he keeps showing me pictures of chickens. Funny. Be interesting to see how chickens come into your life in the future.
Or are they,
brown chickens.
Brown chickens?
Yes.
Well, if I may just explain
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
One day when we were riding in the woods, some pack of dogs came up out of the underbrush out of nowhere and just scared the pants off of him.
Yeah.
Because they were charging. There was three of them charging out of the brush.
Mm-hmm.
And he wheeled around and started running for the barn.
Mm-hmm.
And when he reared up and kind of a little bit and reeled around, I lost my balance and fell off, and he ran all the way back to the barn, terrified.
Yeah.
And from that time, every time we would go ride, if he heard any kind of rustling in the bushes, I could feel his heart start to pound under the saddle.
Yeah.
And one day, we used to go ride, and we'd come out into a clearing behind somebody's farm, and they had guinea hens, which were brown. They were like brown chickens. And the guinea hens came up, you know, across this meadow, and he just freaked.
Yeah.
And I started laughing at him. I was like, look at the size of you. You're 1,100-pound horse, and you're scared of chickens. And so it was kind of a joke about. And I'm glad you said brown chickens, because if they were white, But they were, and I called them chickens because because I thought it was funny. It's like, look at you. You're scared of chickens. The chicken of chickens. And we finally, I had a therapist come and did a NAET treatment on him. And he was immediately cured.
Oh, good.
Immediately cured. Totally cleansed of that. So, is that what he is referring to?
Yeah, chickens. It's almost like a password between you. Full
yeah.
of pictures.
It's not one that I would have
memories.
Picked.
Memories and images, yeah.
It's not one that I would have picked, but it does help.
You connect with him very quickly through it, don't you?
Well, it's been years since we had that issue. But I found it humorous because he's so big.
Yeah. Yeah.
And powerful.
Yeah.
And the chickens just scared the poop out of him.
Yeah.
So I hope that that's what he was referring to, and not that he's going to come back as a chicken, because I don't know.
No. I know chickens are so short-lived.
Right. And I do. I mean, I do at some point need to have another horse. I have a rescue horse that I've been helping take care of, and I mean, he's 29 and he's been ill for a long, long time, and I feel like his time is short.
Yeah.
And
you know,
and when I'm in a place, I do want to have another horse.
Yes.
And yeah. I would, but it could only be. It could only be him. Is he willing at that point in time? Is it up to him that he can come and be my horse again?
What I can say is that he'll most definitely be with you again, and sooner rather than later. I do have a sense of him coming fairly shortly into your life again.
But you can't
say
what kind of animal?
Of the form, he really enjoyed being a horse. That was just an awful lot of fun. In order for him to come back, he also needs his support group coming back in as well. And they may take different forms. I don't know what kind of body he's going to choose. All I can say is that he really did enjoy being a horse. And that when he comes, living situation that he'll be in will be involve a community of animals, again, because he needs a support group in order to function well.
Well, we still have 14 horses out there.
That's quite a community.
Yeah. Can he give me a signal? Because obviously any animal that comes into my life now, I'm going to be looking.
Mm-hmm.
And would he be a newborn, or would he walk into an animal that's already here?
The comment I will make is this. There is no way you will miss him. You will know as soon as you see him. If you think about the magic moment when he was born in this past lifetime, and the connection you felt in that moment. Don't worry about missing him. You won't. You'll recognize him immediately. Okay?
Okay?
And it'll happen in an instant.
Well, Barbara, I see that we've gone past the time that you had allowed for us.
That's not a problem. Is it okay if I take another minute or two? Because I want to say something here.
Absolutely.
Ariel, one of the things that I've learned is that when an animal, a being in animal form, comes into our lives, it's the indication that we're about to start a new phase in our lives. When an animal leaves, it indicates the end of a phase in our lives. And if you have more than one leaving in a very short period of time, it's an indication of a major shift. You have the opportunity to look at who you were when Avatar first came into your life in this lifetime on this planet, and who you are with his leaving. When he comes again, both of you will have shifted a bit. Your focus will be somewhat different than the one that you explored in his past lifetime here. And when he comes again, he'll come with skills that support you in the next phase. I'll suggest to you, if you've, whenever you get the time, to go to my website, which is barbarajanelle.com. And go to the animal communication section and download or read online, whatever, two articles. One is one of the latest articles I've written on grounding, which will help you understand what he was dealing with respect to his feet. And the role that played in his ability to function. And the other is on dying. And I think that those articles will give you some more understanding of what has transpired in this experience of his leaving. Okay?
Okay. And I know that because of my state of mind, does he have the ability, just, Tari, have you been with me in this house?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if it's my wishful thinking or...
No, he's been, I mean, so close to you, it isn't even funny. Oftentimes when animals die, they sort of hover over at some distance up, watching, observing. It's like he's glued to your side. He's that close.
Okay.
And so big. So very
okay.
big.
I thank you so much, Barbara.
Yeah. This is a time when you are very fragile. A part of you has gone missing with his leaving. Be gentle with yourself. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Barbara, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to give us an explanation of Avatar and his crossing.
It was an honor.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm recording this today. And we may very well play this on our radio show. We'll have to discuss this for later. But I want to thank you so much, and I know that I'm going to call you back later this afternoon at 3 o'clock my time so
right.
that we can record for an additional information for our show. So thank
Very
you
good.
So much, Barbara.
Okay. It was an honor.
Thank you. We'll talk later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Ariel. You take care.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Lavendar?
I'm here.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, let me we have callers online, but so far no one has any questions or comments that I can tell. You need to push 1 if you'd like to come on the air and speak. And, well, we do now have 1. So... unless either you, Lavendar, or Sierra want to interject something here, I'll go to caller questions in chat room.
Go ahead. To the chat room.
Okay.
Okay. Or callers, either one.
Okay. Yeah, we do have people now coming on with questions and comments. We're going to pick up first. Let's see. You've been on hold for a long time. This is Ralph. Hello, Ralph. You are on the air.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Thank you very much. And I want to first share your grief and loss of your loved one.
Thank you. I
didn't understand how what Barbara was saying. I can't get my head wrapped around this. You sharing part of the same being, part of the same. Being, I think she said.
Well, it's kind of the concept of soulmate or twin flame, and Lavendar has talked about this before because we come in groups like families, and these families were originally part of the same being. And Lavendar, you might have to pick up if I don't get these details right, but I believe you said at one time that these huge essences of energy at ancient eons ago broke apart into 18 different parts, and each one is a part of the whole, and they go out, and when you meet one of them, you feel like you have a soulmate connection. And the fact that we were different species makes no difference. So Avatar is part of my soul group.
one that I have been lucky enough to connect with and know. So does that clarify it for you, Ralph?
Yeah, so I want to add to that. The other part of that is, do you have a choice in your next lifetime to be part of another group, or do you, are you always part of the same group?
That's one for Lavendar.
Well, there's many experiments going on, and you have choices. You're always given the choice of how you want to come.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and this is a wonderful show. I appreciate the Barbara was very, very informative, and I think made things a lot easier for me to understand in terms of passing and what happens in terms of the relationship of that still remain. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ralph.
You're quite welcome, Ralph. Thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye. I'm trying to get this studio thing to work here. Okay, well, Lavendar and I have been working with one of our Starseed family who lives out in Oregon. And we're now going to talk to Monique because she's been working with Galactic Horses for years. Hello, Monique. I've been thinking about you a lot these last 2 weeks.
Well, goodness. I mean, I went through this last year about the same time. It was September 10th. And actually, your avatar left on my birthday, along with a few other people close to me. So it's kind of must be an exit day this year.
I guess.
I totally understand what you were just talking about as far as the soul connection. I think I think my husband would even agree, I was probably more connected to Guthrie, my Galactic Horse, than he feels. It was just, I don't even know how to explain it. It just was. And I know that feeling of like you feel like a part of you is lost now. You feel empty, but at the same time you know they're there. And all I can say to you is this last year has been amazing. Guthrie has come into other beings and said hello and made me laugh. And you said Avatar was from the Leo Sandline, so was Guthrie.
Oh,
I didn't know if you knew. Yep. And that comical comedian and what Barbara said about I called it dive bombing, the cutting thing, playfulness.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. All the time. Totally funny. Had always loved to make me laugh. Always, always, always. I mean, whatever it was, whether it's picking up the pitchfork, moving the wheelbarrow and dumping it, whatever. Had to make me laugh, spraying me with the hose. He thought it was pretty darn funny. I feel for you, and thank you for being as strong as you are to share all of that with us this soon.
Well, you know, it's something that I needed to do because with the wonderful audience that we have, I mean, we literally have thousands of people that hear this show, and I just wanted to give something of him to all of our community and to exalt and pay tribute to the life of these galactic champion horses.
Mm. It's amazing, isn't it?
So, thank you so much, Monique. And we'll have to chat at another point offline here. So, but
sure.
I do appreciate your calling for this show.
Just know he's
so
with
much.
You. He's absolutely with you.
I know. Every time I'll have an emotional outburst, and I just cradle his head and I start singing his song to him. And I just have that same feeling of calm that I can get back to, you know, so.
I think his chicken thing, I think he's making fun of you.
Yeah, well.
I think he's joking. I think he's teasing you back, saying, look, you're laughing at me being scared of the chickens. Come on, be brave.
Well, that's good.
I don't know. That's what I picked up when she said it. It made me kind of laugh.
Yeah, that's right. Because I mean, I was just so tickled. It's like you're chicken of chickens.
I'll be thinking of you, and feel free to contact me if you need to chat or cry or need a hug or whatever.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you so much, Monique.
You're welcome.
I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Well, Purple Sage, I'm coming to the chat room next. Hang on here. Okay, here we go. Pick it up. Okay. Purple Sage.
Yes, hello.
Hello, and hello to everybody in the chat room.
There's quite a few people in the chat room, and they're just hanging on to every word. Not a whole lot of chatting going on, and that's usually a sign that they're just, like I said, hanging on to everything that's being said. I do have two questions, and then I would like to make a comment, if that's okay.
Oh, sure.
One person said, some animals seem to return to us again. There is a special bond between the human and animal. What can be shared about this? If there is a galactic connection, is this a reason for the return to continue a journey, or is it simply about love? Now, I know it's probably already been addressed, but if you have any insight on this, the person would appreciate it.
Well, considering that the ultimate goal for the work, not only of the humans and the galactic animals, the goal is the evolution of the civilization and the teaching of unconditional love and bringing the planet to a state of a more loving state of each other. And so you can't really separate, you know, a galactic relationship from a love relationship. And yes, they do come back just like we came back because there's work to be done. And all I can say is that if you do have one of these special animals, don't waste a minute. Spend as much time with them as you can.
And I do know that the animals, well, the souls, we have contracts that with each other, and your avatar will keep coming back in different forms, like she said, like Barbara said, but it is a contract that the two of you made together, and you'll always be together. Just
I know.
One person wants to know about parrots.
About
because
what?
Parrots.
Parrots?
They want to know if you know the meaning of parrots because they outlive the person.
Wow. I don't know. I've only ever known one parrot in my life, and he was pretty cool. But I just don't. Lavendar knows more about the winged. You've had a lot, Lavendar, you've had a lot of experience, galactic experiences with the winged creatures.
I don't really know that much about the parrots, but I do know that they hold the energy of the air, and they're real attuned to frequencies that monitor the things of the air. That's about all I really know about them.
Okay.
I think
Lavendar.
I might chime in here, actually.
Okay.
This is Sierra. And my understanding of parrots especially is that they're a bridge because they're so linked to the human consciousness, you know, therefore the mocking and the repetitive words and the re-speech is basically what they do. And there's a lot of birds and parrot cousins that are extremely intelligent, taking consideration the African gray. And the African gray actually has the intelligence of a 5-year-old child, so it has the ability to learn and has a speech capability and can communicate with intelligent responses as a 5-year-old child. So they're like, if you want to look at the body and the light spectrum of a body, they are the communication chakra. So they are a bridge between the air and earth, but they communicate with their voice. And so... does that answer Do you think that answers the question that the listener is looking for?
I do.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, and last, I hope you don't mind, Ariel, but I would like to kind of reminisce about the time in July when you called out for help because Avatar would not leave his shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was sending energy or doing what they do in order to get him to wear his shoes. And I remember telling you about this conversation that I had with Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
thinking that it was so funny because his answer to me was, I have never had these placed on my feet in previous lifetimes, and I find it highly indignant that I should have to now.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty funny. And I remember telling you his energy reminded me of the Trojan horse, which was gigantic. And when you look up the Trojan horse, if you already don't know, Athena is connected with the Trojan horse. Avatar was the baby of a horse born on Athena's birthday. He carried Athena's energy. He's also connected to Athena through you, who I have said over and over again, you carry, from the energy that I feel, you carry the strongest Athena energy that I have ever felt from anybody else that I've met. So he was really connected to Athena, as you are. And I just wanted to bring that up.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We have some more callers coming in, and so I will I'll check back one more time with the chat room if anyone has any further comments. I'll be back in just a few minutes. Okay? Thank you so much, Purple Sage.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. We are going to talk now to Kat. You're on the air.
Hi, Ariel. This is Kat, and I just wanted to say to you, I don't have a question or anything, but ever since I got my reading and spoke with Lavendar, she told me that day what had happened and with Avatar, and ever since then, I've been sending you daily, you know, golden and pink rays of light, and I really know in my heart that you've felt them, and hopefully they've helped you through this process, because I know what it's like to lose a familiar and a piece of you. And I just want to say that I love you, and I love what you're doing, and this too shall pass, and I'm just going to keep sending you this light, and hopefully you'll connect with it more.
I absolutely do, Kat, and I thank you from the depths of my heart. And I do want to say that I've had many people contact me in one way or another, and I can feel waves of supportive energy and all different, you know, pink and green and golden light, and it really is very present and so very much appreciated, because it's going to take me really
a while
before I can get through the day without breaking down. But I can feel that energy, and it does lift me up. And to everyone that's listening, Kat, and everyone over the course of this coming week that hears this in retrospect, I thank you so much. And it has been a lifeline for me, having the community of Starseeds that we do, and all the people, that wonderful people that we've connected with. And you all are my just
cherished lifelines right now. And I know that Avatar is working with each and every one of you, enforcing and reinforcing your uplifting energy that you have sent to me. And I do thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you for being here in this world, because without you, we would not be able to have the strength and be able to pull it out of ourselves to know. You know, they say, God never gives you more than you can handle. And sometimes when you feel like, okay, my plate is full, stop now. It's not. You're not full. It's just a little bit more. Because without people like you and Lavendar and Tammy and Purple Sage, everyone, you know, without people like you, we find that strength within us. You know what I mean? And you give me so much courage, and you inspire me so much to do the things that I've been putting off for a long time. And I'm so thankful for your courage and your strength that you give us. And now it's time for us to give some of ours to you, because you need it. And that's what we do, because we are family. We make each other whole, and we heal each other. Because by doing that, we heal ourselves, and we are one. We are all one. And
amen.
I just, you know, many blessings to you. And like I said, I'll keep sending it. So if you
thank
get that little
so
tinkle, it's coming through.
Thank you so much, sweetie.
Thank you. Many blessings. And I'll leave you so you can go and get other people's phone calls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling,
Kat. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, Vinny, we have a lot of callers on the line. If you have, would you like to come on the air and make a comment or ask a question, you need to press 1 on your keypad so that we know that you want to come online. I don't see anybody else with their hand up to speak. Yeah, Joseph, I figured you would be pretty soon. There you are. Hang on a second. I'm going to bring you on. Hello, Joseph.
Hello. How are you, Arielle?
Well, I am.
Well, you've expressed
surrounded.
How you are, and it's beautiful.
I am surrounded.
Your vulnerability that you've expressed and allowed us to see is the same thing I experience when I hear you sing. It's a gracious, joyful gift to the universe. And I'm sorry I never met Avatar, but I can just see him looking over your shoulder right now. So he's a magnificent creature, but then so are you, my darling.
Oh, thank you, Joseph.
You're so welcome.
I will repeat that on our website, I put together a video tribute, and there's even some live footage at the end, because I want everyone to meet him. And so all you need to do is go to starseedhotline.com/avatar, and you can see the collection. I mean, it took me 12 hours to get through making that video because...
Oh, my.
It
what
was,
a labor of
well,
love.
Well, it was.
Yeah.
It was... I did it for him because... I wanted to honor him,
yes.
And I wanted to share the magnificence of him with the people I care about in our community. So, and that certainly does include you in a big way, Joseph. Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear. Well, thank you. And I'll go online and introduce myself to Avatar.
You do that. You do that. And just... Thank you
just
for being
keep
who you
singing.
Are.
Just, that will help so much. Just keep singing. Let that energy pour through your heart and your voice. But you're such a communicator, and you've exemplified that today. So thanks again. I'm glad you're one of my family.
Oh, well, same here, Joseph. You know we love you.
I know.
And thank you. Thank you for calling in.
You're so welcome. Bye for now.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, I'm going to check back in with the chat room one last time. So if you have
any comments or questions, please forward them to Purple Sage. I'm going to be picking up here in about 2-3 seconds here. Here we go. Hi, Purple Sage, we're back.
Hello. I don't have any more questions, but I do have a whole lot of people sending you love.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I just want everybody to embrace Avatar and experience the joy that he carries for the whole of humanity. You know, Avatar is a humanitarian, and he was always watching everything, always watching. Nothing got by him, and he made everybody learn how to play to such a wonderful spirit. So, well, Purple Sage and everyone in the chat room, thank you so much. I can feel the energy of all of you just swirling around me and lifting me up. And it really, I thought I was going to really break down a lot more tonight than I did, and it's because of that loving support that I'm able to keep it together.
Well, you are out.
Hey, Ariel.
Mm-hmm.
This is Sierra. I wanted to come on and share an experience that I'm having here on the horse farm. I live on a horse farm now in Arizona, and I have 16 horses. And I walked out here just as we were starting to finish up, and there are 16 horses completely surrounding me right now, giving you all of their love.
Oh, my gosh.
They have their ears pulled forward. Their heads are up. It's as if they're sending all of this love straight through my heart, straight into my arm and into the phone. And it's the most amazing experience. They are just completely surrounding me.
Oh, wow. Oh, thank you, Sierra. And look at each one of them in the eye one at a time and tell them thank you.
They heard you because now they're starting to walk away slowly, one by one.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, Purple Sage, I'm going to put your mic back on mute. And if you want to, before the show is over, we've only got about 12 more minutes, just go ahead and hit one and I'll know to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
11, Dar, you there still?
I am here.
I know you are.
I would like for everyone at this time to do what we do for special occasions and special people. And you, Ariel, are so beloved, and we would like to extend to you the Emerald Ray. So on the count of five, I want everybody to take an in-breath and project the Emerald Ray to you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, project. You have all the love and support of the Starseed family, and because of your work that you have done with Avatar all these years, it's going to be an upliftment of things that you don't even know about that are coming. And he's going to be part of your life and your legacy, and he'll be a legacy for all of us. And so I think that at this time that we probably should just end the show and say good night, because this has been an absolute wonderful, wonderful show for all of us to reflect on our animals and for the creatures that come to us from in different forms. So,
thank you so much.
So
thank
good
you so
night
much.
To you, everyone, and Sierra and Purple Sage and Tammy, and for the ones that listen to this later, just hold the Emerald Ray for Ariel, for Avatar, and for all the horses on the planet that are standing for this signal of peace and balance for all of us. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you so much, everyone. Good night, all.
Good night.